Classic Business. Law.
Have you ever interviewed a millennial? One of my favorites was a young man fresh out of varsity. He referred to himself as a stay-at-home son. Is your business ready for the woke, the tech-savvy, the always-on, always-looking-for-a-higher-purpose generation in the workplace? What does that even mean? Will we need vegan options in our canteens or social media commentary screens? Well, we've invited two legal eagles who've applied their mind to how you can attract the millennial to your workplace, Nadine Mather, Senior Associate at Bowman's, and Monji. I was going to say... So thank you for correcting me, partner in Bowman's Employment and Employee Benefits Department, to talk to us about this issue, because you're addressing a panel on this Wednesday. So welcome, guys. Lue, kick us off. And I guess we should say millennials in the woke place, because that's really what they're about. Simon Sinek, that leadership guru, says that apparently this millennial generation is unleadable and they frustrate everyone. Do you think that's fair critique?
I think to consider it only from that perspective is a bit harsh. I think that we live in an age where there's a lot more information available to the younger generation, and I think that to a large extent, a lot of us have just adopted the status at the workplace as it was, and perhaps the younger generation is asking a lot more questions about that. They're saying, you know, is it necessary that we go to work 5 out of 7 days, for example? And I know that Microsoft recently experimented with a 4-day working week, and they actually found that there was a 40% increase in productivity. So I also think that things like advances in technology, for example, has resulted in employees looking at different ways in which they can perhaps work from the work from the home instead of necessarily going into the workplace. You spend 2 hours on the road, perhaps, in traffic. Mm. And they're saying, well, you know, things have changed. And we are still perhaps implementing practices from the 1990s. And perhaps there's different ways of looking at it. So I think there's something to it.
There clearly is something to questioning why are we doing it this way, Nadine. It's the germ of innovation, isn't it? We certainly can't scoff at that. And I look at the accusations of the millennials as being perhaps a little too entitled, perhaps a little too involved in social media and narcissistic. But I think that's actually unfair, because the one thing about leadership is that it's supposed to display empathy. And I don't think we have been doing that in the workplace by and large. Would you agree?
Well, I mean, interestingly at that point, Michael, is that what millennials seek in the workplace, it's been found that it's quite more common with other generations than one may think. So what the changes that they're seeking, other employees also desire. And what's happening is just that millennials may place more value on these, or they tend to be the driving force behind it, which results in getting the bad reputation of being entitled, being narcissistic, always being glued to their phones. But actually what they are seeking, for example, flexibility in the workplace, a lot of employees are seeking that, you know, none so more than millennials.
So what is it that millennials are seeking that actually all of us secretly would desire and like at the workplaces, as an example?
Yeah, so I think one of the biggest things that comes to the fore is flexibility. I think millennials, and when I say millennials, I'm talking about a younger generation workforce, and it's not exclusively millennials as such. I don't want to stereotype millennials as such. But what they're looking for is more flexibility. So, for example, they're saying that, why can't I work from home? Why is it that if there's no work for me to do, why must I stay at the workplace, for example? And I think there's, you know, important considerations that the employer has to look at, some legal considerations that they must be aware of when they allow such things. But I think for millennials, that's one of the big things. I know there's various measures that companies have adopted recently. Things like, you may have heard that Investec, for example, has implemented a casual clothes policy. There's the unlimited leave policy. And so these are the things that millennials are looking at.
And interestingly, and it's almost counterintuitive, Nadine, but on unlimited leave, you would think that people are going to go out and abuse that. But if you're working in a professional services firm in particular, it's amazing how self-regulating that team environment can be. And if one person's leaning on the hard work of everyone else, that person won't remain part of that team for very long. So there's some very important sort of human resource management principles behind this.
No, exactly. And actually, research has shown, which was conducted by both Netflix and Chronux, I think that did the same principle, was that employees actually tended to take less leave when they introduced an unlimited leave policy. And this was often because if you didn't have an assigned accrued entitlement to leave, and people weren't monitoring the leave that you took, employees just never took leave. A number of employees also suffered from burnout. So that's one of the issues in managing an unlimited leave policy.
What are the challenges here, though? Obviously, you said there are some legal challenges to unlimited leave or flexible work. How does one approach this as a business? There's obviously no one size fits all. Depends on what service you're delivering, what industry you're in, but what are some good rules of thumb?
Sure. So one of the things that we would certainly advise is that the employer puts in place a good policy, which prescribes or, I guess, that manages all the various scenarios that can arise. So, for example, you may have a scenario where it becomes that it's an incentivized unlimited leave. So only employees who meet their targets and who are performing qualify for such unlimited leave. Another example is that in the event that you, I like to play out scenarios. So you may have an employee who has essentially resigned and gone to work at another workplace, but just doesn't pitch for work for a month and says, for example, well, you know, I was actually still an employee. I was just exercising my right to unlimited leave, and I should get a month's pay for that I wasn't there. So we've got to have policies in place to ensure that those kind of scenarios don't play.
Now, there are always chance takers. On the flip side of that, I have also heard, Nadine, that unlimited leave creates an incentive to almost not take leave. And now you want to be seen to be the Uber employee, and there's an increasing rise of mental illness, a prevalence of this kind of overwork and burnout. So we need to be mindful of the other side as well.
No, exactly. And I mean, employers do have obligations in relation to managing employees' wellness in the workplace due to your highly stressful environment created by the fact that employees are not taking leave. It is amounting to an upset substantial increase in mental illness in the workplace. So there's a lot of factors to take into place, including with, you know, flexibility. Other legal considerations include your data protection provisions and your confidentiality. If someone is remote working, it increases the challenges with that and your risk of data breaches. So there's a lot of legal considerations that employers must have regard to when they are crafting these policies for these specific benefits.
And do yourself a favor, go out and hug your millennial in the workplace. They're not that bad. They're out there crusading for all of us. Thanks a lot, guys. Nadine Mather, Senior Associate at Bowmans, and Lue Monji, Partner in the Bowmans Employment and Employee Benefits Department.